Welcome to Real Chalk, a Shrug Collective production. Mike Bledsoe here, stoked to be launching this network so that we can introduce you to amazing content providers like Ryan Fisher. We'll be posting new shows every weekday, so be on the lookout. As a thank you for listening, Thrive Market has a special offer for you. You get $60 of free organic groceries, plus free shipping, and a 30-day trial. Go to thrivemarket.com/realchalk. This is how it works. Users will get $20 off their first three orders of $49 or more, plus free shipping. No code is necessary because the discount will be applied at checkout. Many of you will be going to the store this week, so just hit up Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/realchalk to get set up. Enjoy the show.
And you know who it is, Yaya here, coming at you with the brand new, fresh out the box, new car smell, Real Chalk episode. You guys are tuned in to the Shrug Collective. We're happy to have you here. Another episode coming at you from PaleoFX. This time we sat down with Thaddeus Owen from PrimalHacker.com. And I know I've said this before, and I hope you guys can still take me serious when I say this is my absolute favorite episode of all times. I've actually listened to this episode already three times before it even came out, just because there is so much information in this. Fish was sitting down while recording the podcast, taking notes on his phone with all the stuff just Thaddeus was just throwing at us, and it was absolutely amazing. So a little bit about Thaddeus. He spent a decade actually developing pharmaceutical products, but he got so fed up feeding junk and high fructose corn syrup and all those things that are so unhealthy to children that he quit his job and said no more, and it actually brought him onto a way better path, which is biohacking. So Primal Hacker does biohacking, which basically is just how to optimize your lifestyle to give you the best possible output. He then went on through self-experimenting and learning and just talking to all kinds of people and actually integrating a lot of Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week, 4-hour body theories into his life. He was able to heal his own anxiety, lower his blood pressure, and fix his sleeplessness, all thanks to biohacking. I think this podcast takes a super cool natural curve. We just sat down with him and just started chatting, as we always do, no real plan in mind. But I think the way it came out is so cool because it starts with just normal morning routines. We go over stuff like Wi-Fi waves, and then it gets more specific with the lights and what blue lights can do to you, all the way up to the end of the episode where we talk about microdosing all kinds of different drugs. So just get ready for it to get naturally better as this episode goes on. And one of the things that Thaddeus always preaches is incorporating movement, nature, and sunshine into your life. If you actually look at the Primal Hacker logo, it has all those three ingredients. So I've been doing that since Austin, which is now maybe like a month ago. Every morning I'll go outside, do my meditation barefoot in the sand by the beach, and I can't tell you the impact that just this has had on my life. So I hope this episode has just as much impact on you as it had on me. One more thing that might have an impact on you is the CrossFit Chalk or Chalk Online giveaway that we still have going on. When this episode first comes out, you guys are going to have 2 days. So before June 1st, you guys must sign up to CrossFit Chalk in order to be entered into the raffle for the free ski erg. And now, thanks to one of our sponsors, not only you guys are going to get the ski erg, but the winner of this raffle, which again, you get entered into for just signing up. Nothing special, just your regular $20 a month. You get all the CrossFit Chalk programming, plus our sweat programming. You get entered into this raffle to win a ski erg and a complete home gym. Yes, you guys are not completely tripping. I said full home gym. Head over to @RyanFish on Instagram for more information. @CrossFitChalk for even more information. CrossFitChalk.com to sign up for our online programming. And then maybe to my page if you guys want to bump up my subscribers, because I'm starting to feel bad hanging around all these people with tens and thousands of followers and I'm sitting here at 1,500. But enough about me. You guys go out, do your thing, have fun with the episode.
Don't stop.
No, it's definitely safe word barucas.
Yes means no.
Yes means no. And no means butt sex.
All righty.
I think that's a solid intro. All righty, kids. So we're still here, PaleoFX on the little target couch, this time on Fish's lab. You got Thaddeus Owen. Crushed it, dude.
Crushed it.
I've been practicing the name for 15, 20 minutes maybe. So that was my highlight. I'm going to go sign off, go get lunch. You guys can do the rest of the podcast.
All right. Well, seriously, guys, we have a great guest here. I'm really, really excited about this. You're going to learn some stuff that I'm pretty sure you've either, one, never thought about, or two, just really didn't really know.
Or, you know, three, always think about.
Always think about it.
If you're
all right. So exactly. We're going to talk about increasing longevity, indoor, outdoor working out, and just a bunch of weird stuff.
And so optimizing your life just in general, yep. Just all around.
Optimizing.
100%. Yep. I'll give you the stage. You can introduce yourself. Start wherever you want, and we'll steer you in the right direction from there.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, so it's good to be here. Thank you guys for letting me on your podcast.
Of course.
I think this is always fun to talk about stuff that I'm passionate about, and hopefully that helps other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my background, if I'll give you a quick synopsis, I spent a decade developing pharmaceutical products as an R&D scientist. And was standing at the top of a 10,000-gallon batch, pouring in a fiber-packed drum with skull and crossbones on it into a children's product.
Whoa.
And, you know, it's like when you get to that point and you try to talk to the formulators and nobody wants to change that product, even though it's carcinogens, it's high-fructose corn syrup, it's red dye number 40, 41, whatever they switch to now that's not carcinogenic, and you're pouring that into children's products that's supposed to make them healthy, needed a life change.
Wow.
So my background's chemical engineering, so hardcore science. Studied a lot of the pharmaceutical science and then moved away from that and got into more environmental sustainability and health and fitness. So that's always been my passion since I was young. And so what I've done is over the last maybe 8 or 10 years is dove into this concept of biohacking. So biohacking is a fairly niche and new concept, but it essentially means that we take control of our own health. So just like everyone knows, the healthcare system is broken in the US. It's in complete disrepair, dysfunction.
Agreed.
How are we gonna fix that, right?
Yeah.
So biohacking is taking control of your own biology.
Okay.
How do we optimize the world around us and the world inside of us to have better health, to look better, and to live longer? Basically, optimize everything you can with the least amount of effort possible to look your best, feel your best, but also be healthy inside and not just look healthy on the outside. So I've been studying that for the last 10 years through podcasts, through PubMed studies, reading books, and then finally experimenting on myself once I had enough knowledge. And now
that's
sharing that
part.
Knowledge with others. Well, it can be the best part.
Yeah, definitely rages. Let's go a little bit broader first. I think it's always super interesting to kind of find out, how do you work out? Like, what does your workout regimen look like?
For sure. So I switch that up fairly frequently throughout the year. So I'm a martial artist, so I tend to do a lot of things that give me high explosive power. Mm-hmm. So I used to be a triathlete. I used to run triathlons and marathons, and I just went for distance. Very different muscle fibers than what you're training for martial arts. So
100%.
Martial arts training, I'm going to do a lot. I do a lot more powerlifting. So I'm doing deadlifting, bench pressing, overhead press, and squat. So I've switched everything pretty much over to front squat. And I do the powerlifting all winter in the gym, maybe 3 days a week. And I'm doing usually 5x5, something like that. And then in the summer, I switch everything over to kettlebells and deadlift and nothing else. And I work out outside.
Wow.
Barefoot every single day in the sun.
Okay.
So that's kind of my routine, is every day in the sun in the summer, spring and fall.
Yeah.
And then as soon as winter hits, when I live in a northern climate, I'm in the gym, basically 5x5s, traditional powerlifting, and sometimes body by science.
Chasing
once
the
a week.
Pump.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I like
Just trying
that.
To build a little
that's
more
cool.
mass, a little more strength.
Where do you live?
I live in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So let's go right into the second part of that, because you and I were talking earlier, or when I met you, I think yesterday, about the whole, like, I think it's called sun gazing. There's different terms for it,
sure.
Right? So you just mentioned barefoot and outside. Those are like the key ingredients when it comes to that, right? So I'll let you take it. Let's explain it first of all what it is, and then how do you implement it into your practices?
Yeah, of course. So if most people know, like, the old school image from the 70s of Muscle Beach, and the people are working outside, outdoors, in the sand, lifting weights. That is what I think is the ideal for everybody to do. So sunlight gives you nitric oxide. So you get a natural pump from sunlight. You're outside. You're getting that pump from the sunlight. You're working out under the natural sun that we've all been designed to make use of. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we're all working out indoors under artificial lighting with hardly any and sometimes no natural light at the indoor environment. So when you work out indoors, my understanding and what I've seen happen is you're far more prone to injury, especially CrossFit. You're doing massive amounts of reps and high weight for high frequency, very explosive movements under toxic blue light. So what we've found is over the last, I would say, 10 years, we've seen thousands of articles come out about light. So we're understanding how light impacts human biology. What we're finding is, as over the last 10 years, we've switched from incandescent, the Edison light bulb. Mm-hmm. So we used to use the Edison light bulb, which is incandescent. We used to use candlelight, firelight.
What does incandescent mean exactly?
So incandescent is just the type of light that takes electrical energy and runs it through a wire to produce heat, which then produces light.
Gotcha.
So you're taking a very thin metal wire and you're heating it really
and
hot.
It's glowing.
It's glowing.
And
yeah,
that makes
it's actually
light.
Like the filament inside the bulb, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And then now we have LEDs.
So that was how you originally made light. It had red and infrared. It had all sorts of wavelengths of light. Same with firelight, same with sunlight. Well, now we've switched to LED and compact fluorescent. That's what's in almost all of gyms because they save money. They don't save human health. Ooh. They're not beneficial for biology, mm-hmm. but they're better for the bottom line. So these lights were designed, they don't work by heating something up. They work by electronics. And what they do is they send a very specific frequency of light through a diode. And it's usually white or blue light only. So it's a very high spike of blue light. Mm-hmm. And blue light in high amounts can be toxic to our bodies. It creates free radicals. It creates damage to our eyes. And our body finds it hard to use just the frequency of blue light only. Because we're used to having blue light in combination with red and infrared, which reduce inflammation and create healing, rebuild collagen. The blue light is the antithesis of all of that.
Right.
So we've got these high spikes of blue light causing all sorts of free radicals in your eye and your body.
Without the infrared.
Without the infrared and the red, which is the healing. And now you're working out under those, creating more free radicals and more inflammation. And then you're doing that over and over every day.
Wow. Yeah.
So thus, being outside under full spectrum natural light connected to the earth, and getting the blue light, which helps you wake up and creates those free radicals, but also the red, the infrared, and the other wavelengths of sunlight that then reduce those, give you the nitric oxide in the pump, and actually help you gain more health than what you do when you get into a blue-lit gym.
Okay. And what is the barefoot aspect of it do? Because I've heard of people, too, go into the woods, go to the beach, and barefoot be outside in the sun.
Yes. So, essentially, there's a whole term called grounding or earthing.
Yep.
And what you're doing is your body builds up positive charge. It's basically static electricity. When you can rub your feet on the carpet and shock somebody, mm-hmm. when you get that coming out of your car, that's all positive charge or static electricity. That builds up in your body and it causes and is basically part of the inflammatory process. If you don't dump that out of your body, then you're going to continue to stay inflamed. And the way to dump it out of your body is to ground yourself, just like we ground our electronics. To get rid of static electricity,
wow, okay.
you need to ground your body. So connecting barefoot, the earth is the number one source of grounding and electrons for all of life. Mm-hmm. So if you look at every animal on our planet and every plant, they're connected to the earth barefoot or with their roots somehow, basically dumping that inflammatory negative or inflammatory positive energy and soaking up electrons.
Yep.
Electrons provide energy. Electrons come into our body. And that's how we send signals and we transfer energy through the electron transport chain of the mitochondria.
Even if you're walking on concrete versus the grass?
So there are better and worse ways to do it. So rubber, obviously, almost all rubbers are non-conductive. So when you're in your car, when you're wearing rubber-soled shoes, you're basically not dumping any of your positive charge, not soaking up the negative charge. Concrete does allow charge to pass through it. So you can ground through concrete, not through asphalt. You can ground on the grass and wet grass specifically far better than any other type of surface. And sand and beach right at the water, basically where the water's edge hits the sand.
Yeah.
It's a little bit wet. A wet surface, just like, you know, if you touch something, throw it a hair dryer in the bathtub.
Absolutely.
That conducts electricity very quickly. So you want to be on a piece of wet ground close to the water as possible. But just standing in your backyard, which is where I do my workouts, mm-hmm. that's good enough to basically get electrons into your body for more energy and dump that positive charge, which is highly inflammatory.
So
that's so cool.
If you're working out barefoot in a gym on a rubber floor,
So you're on a rubber floor, which means you can't conduct through
okay.
rubber. So you're basically under that blue lit environment, creating more free radicals, more positive charge in
and
your body.
On a rubber floor.
And you're on a rubber floor. So now you're insulated. So you're just maintaining. You're basically an antenna. So all of the Wi-Fi and the microwave radiation from cell phones that's coming through that system in that gym is going into your body and then accumulating. It has nowhere else to go.
So does it matter now if I'm wearing a pair of Nike Metcons or I'm wearing a pair of Innovates?
That,
they're both rubber.
They're both rubber. So if the bottoms are rubber, totally doesn't matter. So I've got a pair of rubber-soled shoes here, but I'll go outside and get barefoot at least twice during the day. Always first thing right in the morning, and there's a very specific reason for that, and then some other point during the day. You can do what's called grounding your shoes. So some people here actually make copper plugs that plug into the bottom of your shoe. So you can wear shoes and then dissipate charge through the bottom of your foot to the copper plug and soak in electrons from that copper plug from the earth.
Wow.
Wow.
There's a number of kind of grounding technologies from copper plugs to like little straps you can buy.
Do you have those in your shoes right now?
They're in the shoes that I've got in my Airbnb right now. So the ones in my Airbnb is a strap. So there's basically a plastic strap that glues to the bottom sole of your shoe, comes out the top, and then glues to the outside
sole. I've seen that. I've seen a couple people walk
around
with
that.
Because they had Metcons on, and then they had the strap, and I was wondering why it had that.
Exactly. It's basically a silicone rubber. So there's a certain type of silicone rubber that is
conductive. Is that why you have that special sole in there?
This is slightly different. This is a line. So this is actually what a number of the CrossFit athletes, golfers, NFL teams are now using. So the Align booth is right back here. But essentially, we're trying to be barefoot and do all these primal things because we're here at PaleoFX in a concrete jungle in a modern world. And in our modern society, you can't just take on all the practices of primal living and think you're going to be healthy.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, hey, you can't sit around the campfire all night, every night. And we just don't have that. We have LED lights and toxic blue lighting. And you can't walk around on concrete barefoot and think it's going to be the same thing as walking around on grass and trees and forest floor like when we were primal people. And so, you know, these Align inserts basically realign your feet for the concrete jungle, but they don't lock your feet into one position where your muscles are going to atrophy from non-use.
Awesome. Okay, because I was actually going to bring that up. I knew a few years ago or so, the trend kind of came up with the barefoot shoes where you had the toes in it. And then basically what kind of countered their argument was basically saying that there's no point in us walking around barefoot because you're going to walk around on asphalt or whatever it is, hard surfaces, and it's not like you're walking around in the woods or by the beach anymore. Yep. So it can actually be almost hurtful to yourself by walking around barefoot on like the concrete jungle, as you call it.
Yeah, I'll say two things. One is absolutely what you said is true. So when we used to walk, there's texture to the ground. There's movement. It undulates. Your feet actually conform to the surface of the earth.
Yep.
It wasn't flat. Everything today is completely flat, whether you're inside or outside, and that is very bad for your feet, and it causes flat feet. Your arches collapse. People get foot pain and knee pain. That, you know, number one cause of knee pain is both improper fitting shoes but also walking on these concrete floors everywhere and being in compromised positions all day. So, of course, like, we can't just go back to primal and go barefoot and do all these things and think we're going to be healthy. There's always science and technology that we need to overcome our modern
lifestyle.
Because,
like you said, it's not, we're not primal anymore. We're not running around the fucking jungle hunting whatever it is,
whatever, right?
We just go to Ralph's and buy a fucking rotisserie chicken. So, at the end of the day, you know, we can try to get as close to that in for health purposes. But at the end of the day, we got to be mindful that we're not actually there anymore.
Until you create the farm where you can hunt your own chicken with
the
deer.
So exactly.
Walk around barefoot.
So then the next thing with the blue light, I think one of the biggest things right now is that also your phone, your TV, your computer all also reflect blue light, correct?
100%. All of our technology today, from the overhead lighting to our computer screens, our laptops, our LED televisions, they're all based on light-emitting diodes with high spikes of blue light. So every device that we look at all day long before bed is disrupting our circadian biology. So the Nobel Prize was given last year for circadian biology and its role in health. And so here we are knowing that circadian biology is one of the number one things that affect health. They were given the Nobel Prize because of that understanding, and we're disrupting it every single point in the day. So we flip on an LED light at night and look at our phone in the middle of the night, and our brain suddenly thinks it's noon in the middle of the summer. Shut off your melatonin, which rejuvenates your body during sleep, helps you go to sleep, is anti-cancer, does all these things for your body. It shuts that down as soon as you look at a screen at night, messes with your circadian rhythm, your circadian biology, and starts increasing cortisol. So here you go, you look at your phone before bed, or you wake up and you turn on an LED light to go to the bathroom. All it takes is 15 seconds. So the latest research shows 15 seconds of an LED light after dark changes your whole circadian biology. And then if you're looking to gain muscle, gain strength, or just heal, and you've now taken away your melatonin for the entire night that gives you that rejuvenating benefit, you're not going to make the gains, you're not going to heal, and you're not going to get the beneficial sleep that you need.
Gotcha.
So understanding how to mitigate blue light at night and during the day is key if you want to make bigger gains, faster gains, and have more recovery.
Perfect segue.
It's so hard to do, though.
Like, I know.
I mean, what if you have to look at your email or something?
Well, perfect segue, because when we first saw you, we walked by your booth, and everybody is wearing the new blue light blockers, and I'm sure people have seen those.
Correct.
They were like the new big thing right now on Instagram, everywhere. I actually got a pair.
Nice.
I want to say like a month ago. I got a question for you following up on that, but I'll let you go from here with the blue light blocker and glasses, what they do, and like how big of an impact they have.
Yeah.
Since, I mean, we're sitting surrounded by blue light right now,
yeah,
and then having only the glasses, but I'll let you.
So the number one way that blue light gets into our body, so we do have receptors for blue light on all of our skin surfaces. So blocking your eyes makes a huge difference, but it's not the only thing you should be doing. So during the middle of the day, you want to block your eyes from the screen. So there's three ways to do that. Blue light blocking glasses. So during the day, you want to block the high frequency blue light from entering your eyes if you're in a windowless room. So if you're in a windowless gym, windowless conference room, if you work in a cubicle with no natural light, you want to block some blue light. If you've got a big window where you're working out or where you're working at your office, that's great. You don't need to block any blue light.
Okay.
You've got enough natural light to overcome that.
Can the blue light actually help you be more productive? Because like you said, your body thinks it's the summer, it's noon, so
yes,
it would think that it needs to be awake, correct?
Yes. So that's why people have those SAD lights, the seasonal effectiveness disorder lights, and they're bright blue lights. They wake you up. They trick your body into thinking it's summer. You get rid of that seasonal depression. However, those are creating tons of free radicals in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So can you use blue light? There's a product called the Human Charger, which puts white enhanced blue light right into your ears. So it goes right basically through the ear canal into the brain and tells your brain, like, it's like a cup of coffee for your brain. Like, wake up. It is the middle of the day.
No way.
So people like Ben Greenfield and others are using, like, the Human Charger during the morning to either reset their circadian rhythm or wake up.
Yeah.
So some people will do that. I don't do that because I still think too much blue light can be toxic.
Okay.
And so during the day, you know, people will want to just block the blue frequency of light if they're exposed to a lot of blue light without natural light.
Okay.
The other thing that you should always do on your screens, whether you have natural light around you or not, is there's a program called Iris. So Iris goes on any laptop, iPad, whatever it is, and it's a free program, and it reduces the blue light from any screen.
I was just going to ask that. I know the iPhone, since the new update, you can, like, turn on the night shift mode thing?
Absolutely.
Does that actually work? Does that do something?
It does. So Apple already knows about this toxic blue light thing, and they built into their operating system 2 years ago a way to reduce the blue light at night called night shift.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to screen settings, brightness and settings, and then dimming, and you turn on night shift. It will turn on based on your latitude at sunset, and then it'll turn on at sunset, turn off at sunrise automatically. I keep mine on all day. But I downloaded a program on my phone and my laptop called Iris, which basically I just keep on all the time unless I'm doing color-sensitive work, and I'll just pause it.
Right.
So that's what you want to do for your laptop.
So Iris does the same thing? It just puts on the night shift, basically?
Correct. The Apple night shift doesn't do as good of a job as, like, Iris does.
Okay.
Iris is invented specifically to do this for your laptop, and you can actually mess with the settings to take out more or less blue light.
Okay.
So that's probably the best program I've ever seen. There's some screenshots online you can see of Efflux and Night Shift and others and how much blue light they let in versus Iris.
Yep.
And those are independently tested. They weren't done by the Iris company. And the guy that runs Iris, he gives everything away for free. I think if you buy the full version, which is called like the Biohacker version, it's $2. So it's super cheap.
Awesome.
But it's free download on your phone, free download on your laptop.
I just wrote it down. I'm getting it after the show.
Which I think is so funny when an app is like $2 because You go around all day spending $2 on everything, right?
Anything.
Fucking coffee's $4. This is $5. Like, you don't even think about it. But then an app is like $1.99. You're like, fuck that. No way.
That is funny. Well, I actually get really pissed. Like, in California, we have paper shopping bags.
Right.
It's like 15 cents for a shopping bag. I'm like, no.
Dude, I debate.
And I'll carry all this stuff
in
my car.
I laugh about this all the time because I'm literally debating. Like, the guy goes, do you need a bag today? And I will stand there like,
15 seconds.
Fuck, I don't know.
can I roll my shirt around it and just carry it in there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I bought the blue light glasses, and I know yours have the orange.
Orange-ish red tint.
Orange lenses,
yep.
Right? Mine are clear.
Okay.
But they sold as blue light blockers. Did I get scammed?
Yes and no.
Shit.
So,
is this your brand, by the way?
No, this is a friend of mine. So
okay.
There's so much information about light and health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming such a big deal about how important the sunlight is to our health. and how toxic blue light can be. So there's a really awesome article out right now by Harvard Medical School called The Dark Side of Blue Light. So it's becoming pretty mainstream. So a friend of mine, Matt Maruka, he's actually got a booth out here. He's an 18-year-old kid. He's all in on health and light. He actually knows so much information about the mitochondria and how they were formed like 10 million years ago and why they're part of our body and how they're impacted by light and how to be healthier. So he invented this company called Ra Optics, R-A, like the sun god, Ra. Mm-hmm. And so these are his glasses. So he can take any prescription glasses and coat them with a 550 BPI tint, which takes out blue, green, and yellow light. And these are not prescription. These he also just sells regular blue blocking glasses. So, okay, clear glasses are basically computer glasses. During the day, they block a small portion of blue light, not all blue light, but a small portion of it, the most damaging portion that affects your eyes.
Okay.
That's awesome to use on the computer during the day. At night, they will do nothing for you. They will not stop enough blue light, so your melatonin is still going to drop, your cortisol is going to get jacked. So at night, you want to block all blue light, a little bit of green, and a little bit of yellow light. And so this is called 550 BPI tint. It's basically just a name of a tint that optometrists use to block those basically biologically damaging wavelengths of light at night.
Okay.
Where is green light coming from? Like so you just said white, green, and blue.
Correct. So blue light is the predominant spike that's in LED lighting.
Okay.
LED has a few wavelengths of light coming out of it, and it's most highly concentrated in blue. There's a little yellow. There's a little green. There's a tiny, tiny bit of red, and there's no infrared.
Okay.
So that's basically a spectrum you get from an LED light and a compact fluorescent.
But you're saying the most toxic one is the blue?
The blue is the most toxic.
And is that the most prevalent one in all the bulbs?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So basically there's like a huge market for somebody to modify an LED light to use healing wavelengths of light in addition to a little bit of blue and then start marketing those. And people like Philips with the Philips Hue light, it's basically a light
that
can change dimness and change color. They're working on some of these solutions because they know about this. A lot of the lighting companies have seen the research. So I'm sure in the next decade we'll have healthy LEDs. But in the short term, you know, we're going to see probably, there's a number of scientists saying we're going to see a whole generation of macular degeneration, potential blindness from all the kids nowadays using their devices constantly,
all day, every
being
day.
Under blue light in their schools, using them at the night before bed. And so we need to get more information out so people can at least use the technologies that are almost all free to just avoid a lot of the toxic blue light that's out there.
So the Philips Hue, I actually have that in my house. And does that help at all? Like if I'm going to sleep and I kind of dim it, they have like the warm light setting or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
Does that do anything or is the blue light still in there?
There's still some, but they dial out a lot of it as you put it very dim and more yellow.
Okay.
So, I mean, what I did is I did the same thing that Dr. Mercola did and same thing Ben Greenfield did. I ripped out all the LED lights out of my house and I went back to incandescent. So it doesn't save me as much money every month, but it's way healthier biologically. And then I replaced a number of other fixtures with a very specific frequency wavelength of red light.
Okay.
So at night, if you see red light at night, your body's tricked into thinking it's still dark. It does not see red light as light. It sees it as darkness. It sees blue light as daytime sunlight.
Cool. And there's a lot of booths around here that kind of have the like sauna red light things. Is that kind of the same concept where they're trying to like flood the red light into your body?
That is. So basically red light. So I mentioned red and infrared are kind of healing, anti-inflammatory. They rebuild collagen. They reduce inflammation. So people after a massive workout, they're going to have sore shoulders. They're going to have a sore back. Their legs might be sore. So what the sports teams are doing are using either an infrared sauna, full spectrum infrared sauna, or something like this guy's got a sauna space. They have a big incandescent red bulb.
Yep.
So basically certain wavelengths of red and infrared light massively reduce inflammation, increase by 50% your ability to retrain and get back on the field.
Wow.
So what these guys are doing is they're basically doing what's called photobiomodulation. It's red light therapy.
That's a cool word.
So they're concentrating this like healing frequency of red light for anti-aging, but anti-inflammatory and then muscle soreness. And helping you rebuild all those systems very quickly within about 8 minutes on some of the lights, depending on how intense they are.
Wow.
So you can basically get back and train again and, again, lock in the gains that you're making because you're not just staying inflamed and it's harder to get back to the gym the next day, whatever it is you're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Potential terrible question, but is it possible to get the effect? Like, does a red light literally have to be red? or can it give off like a white light, but it's a red light source?
So that's a good question. It has to be red, and so because
okay. If you're living in a house with red lights,
trust me, I do it at night.
You'd be pretty like it's kind of like
kind of freaky.
Let me piggyback off that question because I have the same question basically. If I take one of those red lights and put it into my bedroom before I go to sleep, and I'm like getting ready, and I'm putting like. Whatever it is I'm doing before I go to sleep. We're not going to talk about it.
We're not? I thought there were no off-limit questions.
There is none.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you doing?
Yeah, he's got a point.
Put the hand cream away.
Yeah, exactly. I jerk off a lot. And then so if I'm jerking off with the red light on,
right.
Will that help me go to sleep?
100%. Yeah, your body right. thinks that it's still dark. So I actually changed out all my lighting in my bedroom just pure red light.
Okay.
So some people
it's
use
also very romantic, so
it's,
that helps.
It's very
yeah, I feel like in the bedroom is okay.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just around the house. I can't have people come in and be like, what's
especially the neighbors when you got red light coming out the window.
Yeah, it looks like a photo studio.
I thought we were playing Cards Against Humanity, not actually kill me.
Yeah, so incandescent or halogen lights, very dimmed at night.
Okay.
And then you wear the blue blocking glasses. So what I actually go full bore and I turn on just red lights in my house at night. Then I don't have to wear the glasses unless I'm on a device. Mm-hmm. So my house it's kind of hard to see in red light only around the house. But bedroom, 100%. Like, that'd be the number one best suggestion is, like, only red light in the bedroom.
Okay.
Because you can still read by it. You can still see enough. But it's actually a little more romantic light because it's softer.
Agreed.
And
so if someone wants to do this, do they just go on Google and just type in, like, whatever size their bulb is, red light?
So that would probably be a mistake. So what you will get oftentimes is an LED light that's based on a blue light source with a red filter over it.
Okay.
So you're still going to get, even though it's got a red filter, you're going to get a lot of blue light. What you want to look for is a specific wavelength of red light. So you actually want somewhere between 600 and 780, basically 600 to 800 nanometers. That's the size of the wavelength. But if you look for anything within 600 to 800 nanometer red LED light, those are the healing wavelengths. And you can find one on Amazon. It's 660 nanometer red light. It'll screw into any standard light bulb fixture.
Cool.
Costs about $8.
Sweet.
Okay. And it'll last
forever. I wrote it down.
Awesome. Good. Yeah, we'll order a couple of those. Amazon sure. Prime will have it by the time we get home.
That's right.
I'm so interested in this. I love this right now.
I know. Me too. I love – so, like, after we were just talking to Mike T. Nelson before this, and one of the topics was that once I got really into CrossFit, that a lot of other aspects of my life had to change with it. Just to be able to adapt to the intensity that I had in the gym. And in order to get better, I had to optimize my sleep, my recovery, my food intake, all those things. So one thing I started geeking out about like crazy is sleep. Because I noticed what huge impact it had on gym, outside life, everything. And actually that was so I graduated college. After college, I stopped playing football, got into CrossFit. So it kind of all happened at the same time. And I still remember that there was this shift where I actually started sleeping 8 hours a night compared to the 4 hours, 3 hours a night in college, where all of a sudden I was awake for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like
the
last two or three years, I was like sleepwalking almost. It felt like I wasn't, like, now thinking back, it almost felt like I wasn't there. I must have been operating at like 20% power almost like the entire way through. So one thing I started geeking out about super hard is sleep. My ex-girlfriend and I actually used to argue about this shit all the time because I was trying to go to sleep and she'd be next to me in bed on the iPad and I would like build a wall with the pillows like in between me just so the blue light wouldn't hit me from the iPad.
Yeah.
So while we're on the topic, and since this is my fucking favorite topic, I talk about this all day, what are some other nighttime routines that you go through to set you up for optimal sleep performance?
For sure. I'll go through mine. And I gave a TEDx talk earlier last year on this subject of sleep and blue light. So what I found in that research is a third of people in the U.S., that's a huge number of people, 100 million people,
yeah.
have trouble sleeping at night and are trying to take some sort of sleep medication.
Mm-hmm. I don't do that, but I do have trouble.
Yes. And so I found, and I was one of those people, it took me forever to fall asleep. My mind was racing.
That's my thing. Is it takes me
you just can't shut off.
At least an hour.
Yeah, you can't shut. I mean, you guys are entrepreneurs. Most entrepreneurs, you just can't shut that shit off. Like, it just goes and it goes and it goes, and then you just get ahead of yourself. And you can't shut it down. You can't go to sleep. So what I found is a routine helps big time for me to go to sleep at night. And I now have zero trouble falling asleep. So the number
Absolutely.
One thing I did is get rid of all the LED lights in my house. I can't get rid of them on my devices. So then the blue blocking glasses religiously after sunset are going on.
Plus iris.
Pl- plus Iris or Efflux or Twilight. There's a number of apps you can use. I just like Iris.
Okay.
But there's tons out there. So I have that on all my devices, and it's always on, so I don't even think about that. Mm-hmm. But basically some sort of app on your device to dial out the blue light blocking glasses. And then what I do is I shut down my lights at night, and I turn on the red lights. I don't eat after dark. So I vary, even in the winter. So when it gets dark at 4, my last meal is 4 p.m. So I'm going to fast longer in the winter than
where
I will
in the
summer.
Where does that come from?
So basically there are a number of medical doctors that I've heard recently. One of them is the world's leading light expert, Dr. Alexander Wunsch from Germany. And what he says is after sunset.
Shouts out. I said shout out Germany.
He's very, very German.
Nice.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
So his theory is after sunset, our circadian biology shuts our cells down for receiving food and nutrition.
Okay.
And so if you're eating after dark, it's like trying to eat when your cells are asleep, and it very poorly processes that nutrition, and you don't need to be filling your cells up after dark anyway. So there's always this thing like don't eat after dark. It's kind of a myth. But he claims that there's actually a circadian biology effect of not eating after dark.
Okay, interesting.
So I stop eating once it's after dark. I take transdermal or basically just topical magnesium. So our bodies are largely deficient in magnesium because our soils are depleted in it. Wi-Fi and cell signals deplete the magnesium in our body. So I load up on magnesium transdermally at night. The best way to get magnesium in your body is through the skin. So I do that.
Interesting, because I take a ZMA.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Supplement right before sleep.
Yep.
So that's zinc, magnesium, and some amino acids, I believe, correct?
Yes. Yep.
So
also very good.
Okay.
So all that stuff is good. I used to take oral magnesium, and when I travel, I'll still take oral magnesium. That works great. It's just you absorb more of it transdermally than you will orally.
Gotcha.
But both work. So you can do either way.
That's interesting. I've always heard transdermally you're losing, like, a ton of it as it goes through the skin.
Mm.
Like most supplements in general.
So some supplements, it depends. Magnesium, for whatever reason, is one of the most absorbed minerals through the skin. And that's why people take Epsom salt baths, because you're absorbing – Epsom salt is basically magnesium chloride.
Yeah.
So you're absorbing all that magnesium in your body. It relaxes you. And so there's a number of companies. I make my own. I just grab some magnesium chloride. I mix it 50-50 with that and water and just make my own topical solution.
Oh, wow. Is that easy?
It's super easy. Just boil some water, pour the magnesium in it, stir it, done.
Okay.
Takes about 10 seconds.
Cool.
Yeah. So all the research that I've seen says transdermal magnesium. And again, I don't know about other vitamins, but at least some vitamins won't absorb through your skin. So you need like something that opens up your skin pores to pull that vitamin into your skin.
Like DMSO or something like that.
Exactly. Yep. And so with magnesium, you don't need any of that. It wants to absorb through your skin. Your skin's kind of made like through salt water in the ocean to absorb magnesium through your skin. So I do the topical magnesium, and then what I do is I turn off the Wi-Fi. So I've got a big Wi-Fi router. The number one source of external non-native EMF, electromagnetic frequencies that are bombarding our body at a quintillion times more than ever in our history, the number one source of that in your house is your Wi-Fi router. So I have actually a remote control on my nightstand. And I hit off on the remote control, and it turns off my Wi-Fi router when I go to bed.
Wow.
And I click it on in the morning.
Wow. I mean, that's genius. I mean, why not? You don't need the Wi-Fi.
You don't need – I mean, unless you have roommates and they're staying up late at night.
I've never thought about that.
What about your neighbor's Wi-Fi and all them? Isn't it bouncing through your body
as well?
It is.
So you, if you look on your phone and you're picking up your neighbor's Wi-Fi, it's coming into your house. But if you do the testing – so there's a guy here who does testing nationwide. He's probably done the most in-home testing of anyone else. That stuff that comes in is real. Cell signals come into your house. That's real because you're getting cell service.
Uh-huh.
But the number one source that affects you the most is your Wi-Fi router because it's the strongest source, mm-hmm. and it's right in your house. And oftentimes, I mean, if you're in an apartment and your neighbor's is right up against your wall where you sleep, you know, you're kind of screwed. You can't turn theirs off.
Sure.
You can put some lead shielding there, and that's the only thing that's going to block it. But
yeah.
Damn, it's so crazy how much stuff is affecting us on a daily basis. I don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Modern life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, if you just think about internet and the iPhone and stuff, it's still so new that there are no like long-term studies exactly yet.
There's no long-term. If you read, if you look up the iPhone user's manual, you can look it up online. They don't usually give it to you anymore. It will tell you not to keep the phone in your pocket and not to touch the phone to your skin. So it basically shows the phone
Shut
next to your
what?
Head.
No way.
You know what's really sad is like a lot of my shorts don't have pockets anymore, so I'm always doing this.
put it in Wi-Fi.
In your compression.
Put it in airplane mode when you do that so that it's not emitting all the Wi-Fi, the cell, and the Bluetooth.
So that's a real thing because I remember that, like, hearing that, like, maybe 10 years ago, people were like, oh, if you keep your phone in your pocket, it's going to give you cancer, blah, blah, blah. That really is true.
That's in the user manual for the iPhone.
You can look it up, dude.
All right, so I'm going to start. I'm wearing a satchel from now on.
Yeah.
Actually, that's so that's, like, the people that learn this. It's an exponential decrease the further away. So every, like, centimeter away, it drops massively more than, you know, what the centimeter you think would be for distance. So even if it's 5 centimeters away from your body in a backpack or something, huge difference in the amount of radiation you're getting in your body.
Wow.
So most people they'll take a pair of earbuds, and they'll put their phone in their backpack or a satchel, and that's how they'll use it, and that's plenty of distance.
Okay, so that's
now
one option.
The watches now are fucking everybody.
That's going to be my next question. Yeah. What about that?
The watch? Yep, the watch is basically radiating all those signals right into your skin. So you notice I don't have any of those. I do have an Oura ring. Mm-hmm. So I do have a ring that is a piece of technology that does emit Bluetooth, but it can be put into airplane mode. So anytime it's on my finger, it's in airplane mode. It's not emitting. When I take it off and put it on the charger, that's when it emits and syncs to my phone.
Okay.
But I would not wear the watch. I would not wear a Fitbit band. I don't wear any of those trackers if they can't be in airplane mode.
Interesting. Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Just because we're so surrounded by it and it's so normal nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that there were other issues coming with the phone just as far as, like, I don't know, sociability go and being able to communicate with one another. And you see kids and you see couples sitting in restaurants and they're both on their phone. They're not even communicating. So there's a lot of, I think, mental health issues also that are coming with it. But I've never actually considered the physical part of it. That's incredible. So let's get back to the nighttime routine.
Yeah. So basically, after all that, I make my own toothpaste. So I brush my teeth with my own toothpaste, which I've run through like 40 different trials of things that I've made. And I go to the dentist every 6 months and they tell me, like, this one's working, this one's not. Till I dialed in the last 3 years, they always ask me, like, what are you using? Because from where your teeth were to where they are now, this stuff works awesome. So I make my own toothpaste, use that.
Can you give that away, that recipe?
Yeah, it's actually on my blog. So if you go to my blog, you'll find that toothpaste recipe.
And what's the address of that?
It's I've got two. That one's Aerisfit, E-R-I-S-F-I-T, so aerisfit.com. And then primalhacker.com is my other blog. Between those two, I put up all these little sciencey hacks that I do, my bedtime routine.
Eris Fit.
Correct. Yep. So we've got articles on there using SARMs for working out and building muscle, using ARX, you know, all these
experiments. We're definitely going to fucking get to that 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so then I've got a Magnetico sleep pad under my bed. So basically under my mattress is a 200-pound mattress full of magnets. And those magnets create a 10 Gauss magnetic field at my body level when I sleep. And supposedly, that will protect me from any Wi-Fi and radiation coming into my bedroom.
Wow.
By training my body to understand that the Earth's magnetic field is around me and no other signals can actually get in.
What does that run you?
So those are somewhere between $800 and $3,000, depending on the size and the strength that you buy.
Okay.
So the lowest strength, like twin size, will be like $500. The highest strength king size will be $3,600.
Which one do you have? Do you need the highest strength, or
I think you need the middle of the road. Essentially, it's called a 10 Gauss. You can get a 20 Gauss or a 10 Gauss field. I've got the 10, which is the middle of the road. It's not the lowest. It's not the highest. And I have a king size bed, so that ran me $2,000 to pick that up. So I mean, some of the stuff is free that you can do, like getting outside and turning your phone on Wi-Fi, whatever you do. And some of the stuff gets pretty pricey.
Right.
And you have to decide, like, is there enough benefit to be spending that kind of money?
Yeah. What about, so I do like a nighttime shower.
Okay. Warm shower.
Warm nighttime shower. And then cold shower in the mornings.
Okay.
I do like meditation after waking up in the mornings, but I also do a form of meditation that's more like a gratefulness type of session before I go to sleep.
Sure.
So that winds me down. And then just reading in general.
Mm. Fiction or nonfiction, does it matter?
I only read nonfiction, so I wouldn't be able to comment on that. Mm. Have you experienced differences in between those two?
Yeah, so there's a few people that have talked about this, and I find it true for myself of reading fiction before bed is way easier for me to do and get ready to sleep than nonfiction.
Which kind of makes sense because the nonfiction gets your brain going. Like, it riles you up. It, like, spurts ideas. So
that's,
I guess, that makes sense.
Right. So not everyone has that issue, and if you don't, you don't. And the warm shower thing, I'm curious if that helps, because some people say, as your body gets ready for bed, the science is showing that your body temperature drops. So if you take a warm shower and get right into bed, you might be too warm and make it harder to sleep versus a cold shower. But what some people end up doing is they take a really warm shower, but they don't get dressed right away. So their body temperature is super warm and then it starts to drop, which normally our body temperature wants to drop before bed, and that allows us to start beginning to get into sleep.
Gotcha.
So if you're taking that warm shower or a warm bath, whatever it is, and then you allow yourself to slowly get cool, that's kind of mimicking what our body naturally does. We hit our lowest body temperature right before bed.
Okay. Speaking of the nonfiction fiction thing, I've heard Tim Ferriss talk about this, where he watches TV. I'm sure he has like the blue light blocking glasses, but he'll watch TV, especially like short sitcom type of thing, because he says that the distraction kind of breaks brain cycles that have been going on all day, like the kind of thing where the person cut you off in traffic and you keep thinking about the conversation you would have had with them, or like just little stuff, that those loops that you kind of get caught in, where when he watches those like short sitcom, Friends, whatever it is, that it just kind of breaks that cycle, and it's almost like a feel-good type of thing too, which helps them go to sleep. Do you have any experience with that?
So I would say, like, from two things about that. Like, A, Tim doesn't wear blue blockers until the last month. He never knew about them, and he's wearing the wrong one. So, Tim, if you're listening, you're wearing the wrong blue blockers. So I actually sent Tim a care package. He's taking his family to Japan this month.
Yeah.
So I sent him a bunch of raw optics with a big note and all the graphs showing the blue blockers he's wearing versus these. And
that's awesome.
The ones he's wearing are made for the daytime and not nighttime.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll take that as like positive education. He'll take the glasses we sent him and use the right glasses at night.
Yo, Tim, also, if you're listening, dude, if you want to hang out or something, that'd be chill.
We're in Austin.
Yeah, that's we're right. in Austin.
So, I disagree with watching television at night. So
okay.
Tim finds that helpful, and I think that's part of what I do in my company is biohacking.
So you've heard of this, so I explained that correctly, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. So self-experimentation is key. So for me, when I tried that, after hearing it from Tim and a couple others, it had the opposite effect. I got amped up, and I couldn't go to sleep after watching something like that. So I make sure I watch no television, no shows. It's only a book or it's meditation before bed, but nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of form of meditation would that be before bed? Is there a difference in between the meditation you do in the mornings and a meditation you do at nighttime?
100%. So I've got a pretty dialed in morning routine, which consists of like red light or sunlight and grounding and Qigong.
Red light in the morning also.
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
So there's specific reasons for that. And I do a Qigong practice. So it's basically an ancient Chinese energy practice that I'm using. At night, I do basically just like a Zen meditation. So it's basically just trying to go completely still. Whatever comes up, I just kind of let it pass by me. And I do any of the gratitude, the Qigong, the red light, other things. That's all in my morning routine.
Okay.
At night, I try to keep it as least complicated as possible. Shut down all electronics I can. Not be in front of any electronics before bed. Keep my room cool, super dark, so I can't see my hand in front of my face. And then turn on the red lights and just kind of get everything slowed down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What were we just going to say with the meditation? I lost my train of thought.
Morning routine or SARMs or something.
SARMs for sure later.
Yeah. No, I think that's – we can go there now.
Should we go there now?
Yeah, we've talked about like the night stuff enough.
Well, is there anything else besides blue light that you're – or and like Wi-Fi signals and Bluetooth and all these things that we're having contact with on a daily basis that you block as well?
Yeah, I think those are kind of the biggest things. And you're going to see two things happen, a flood of devices to block blue light. So you see the blue light glasses popping up everywhere. Every optometrist almost carries now a blue tech lens that they coat, which stops the worst form of blue light. Those are kind of clear to yellowish. Mm-hmm. But even the optometrist is now recommending these. So you're going to see that become more popular, and you're going to see so microwave radiation, cell towers, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, that's bombarding our body from everywhere. And we're just soaking that up, and no one knows what that's going to do. So you're going to see a ton of products flood the market to block that. Clothing that blocks basically called non-native EMF. The sun emits EMF. It's good for us. We were designed to use it. But when we get all this non-native EMF, it comes in a different form, and our body doesn't know how to use it. So we're going to see tons of stuff to block it. So I do have technologies from special underwear with silver sewn into the crotch to block blue light for your nuts, because you know you want to protect your DNA there, especially if you're still having kids or you're still young enough that you don't want to damage that.
Right.
So there's a ton of right now underwear products with silver threads to block EMF.
Speaking of that as well, my sister actually got me a shirt. She got sponsored by some company. They're out of Japan, I believe, now making their way into Europe.
And she got me one of their shirts. I think the shirt runs at like $300 or something like that. And basically the way it's explained, I'm going to try and do my best here, they have minerals that are woven into the shirt. So you put it on before you go to sleep, and it's supposed to naturally help your body wind down, and then while you're sleeping also improve things like immune function and all that. Have you ever heard of something that, like that?
I've heard of shirts with silver and other minerals sewn in to block EMF, but I've never heard of what you're describing. That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'll show you it after. And, I mean, it may have been a placebo effect, but especially I remember the first week, especially the first, like, two or three nights where I was using it, and I put it on, and I, within, I want to say maybe 15, 20 minutes, I couldn't physically stay awake.
Really?
I was sitting on a couch, and it was, like, painful to stay awake, and I had to go to sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I'd be interested if you send me what that actual name
Absolutely,
of the
product is. We'll do that.
Do you think a lot of these waves and a lot of these different things that are passing through our bodies have anything to do with, like, the increase in, like, autism in children these days?
So, I mean, there's...
I feel like autism is something you hear about all the time, and I never heard about it growing up.
It's true. And people said, well, maybe we just misdiagnosed it, or we didn't diagnose autism and ADHD. And all the medical community is saying basically there's no way that that's possible. We would have caught that. We would have seen prevalence. So it's definitely new. And whether it's related to, I mean, a quintillion, that's 10 with 18 zeros after it, more radiation in our body than ever in human history is what's occurring right now.
Wow. Okay.
So can that have an effect? Of course it has an effect. What are the effects? We are still studying that. So my opinion, for sure, it could be related. It could be related to glyphosate sprayed on the wheat. It could be related to a lot of things.
Okay.
And maybe a combination of all of them. And so we may never know the true answer. But we know that all these things we're bombarding our body with mean that we need to recover better. And we need to become very good at understanding our bodies and what it takes to stay healthy in, like, a modern society.
I just had two people in my family that have autistic children. So I was just like, it was just something that was, for me, I wanted to know.
Yeah, I would look more into glyphosate.
Okay.
So that's like the Roundup chemical. I would definitely look into that. And there's supposedly Dr. Zach Bush is here from Restore. And there's a product called Restore that supposedly helps recover from glyphosate injury, which is like autism and ADHD.
Okay.
And can start to repair. And I believe he said clinical success reversing autism.
Whoa.
With some of his product. Now, I'm not making those claims.
Yeah.
He's a medical doctor, a clinician. But he is here somewhere, and it would be beneficial for you to talk to him and look at that product for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be insane.
That's pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure I know this answer, but once you start implementing all these things into your life, what were the, like, immediate benefits that you saw?
So the first thing was actually a negative, because you get overwhelmed with, like, oh, my gosh, there's all these things coming at me, and I have to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. It's like the more you learn, almost the harder it gets to live life. If you just completely – just oblivious to everything that's going on around you, it's super easy. We talk about this with nutrition all the time. Yeah. All of a sudden, I know, okay, this is bad for me. This is bad for me. I don't like where this is coming from. I don't like how this was processed. Yeah. Now you're in the grocery store, and you're like, what the fuck am I going to eat? Right. Like, there's nothing. Like, now I'm back to the chicken in my backyard that I have to hunt and grill.
Exactly.
And, you know what I mean?
I'm also
going
to be pissed, though, if I'm, like, 70 years old, and I'm like, I should have fucking listened to this guy about the LED light because I'm blind.
Yeah.
And my stick can't find the box of Oreos.
Right. Exactly. So I'm with you on that it's just overwhelming.
So it's overwhelming, but I would say, like, implement one strategy at a time that's the easiest for you to implement. So you know you're going to do it, stick with it. It's not stressful. And what I found, the most immediate difference, I found two things. So I had really bad anxiety and social anxiety for my entire life. So doing some internal work, which I've done over the years, and implementing these practices and processes of dialing in my bedtime routine, getting rid of the toxic blue light, massively reduced my anxiety, which I did not expect to be an effect, but I've heard that from so many people, and it massively increased my sleep quality.
Wow.
So I went to sleep far faster, and I didn't wake up after 8 hours feeling like, God, I feel like I didn't sleep at all.
Yeah.
So I felt rested when I woke up, even if I only had 6 hours of sleep. So sleep quality, onset of sleep being much faster, and massive reduction in anxiety were the things I noticed.
Awesome.
And then as far as physical performance goes, did you like immediate connections that you can make as far as that goes?
So those weren't immediate. That was the physical progress that I made in my training practice came maybe months later, and I started to connect the dots.
Okay.
And to where now, when I don't wear blue blockers at night, which has maybe happened twice in 2 years, I noticed a definite and noticeable physical difference the next day. So I do a routine.
No way.
Whenever I'm in my car, I've got a Captains of Crush set of hand grippers, and I'll hold them for 2 minutes, and I switch hands. So I basically do two sets of 2 minutes with each hand. And if I'm sleep deprived or I didn't wear my blue blockers the night before, that last set for 2 minutes, I'm screaming, I'm in pain, everything's burning. Yeah. Where if I dialed in my sleep, I mean, I can crush that thing for 2 minutes and just keep holding it like it's nothing.
Insane.
So it's like I'll notice that in my deadlift. I'll notice that in my hand grip. So those are things that I never would have paid attention to before. But I notice those when I'm not blocking the blue light at night and not getting the right kind of sleep.
It's still so incredible to me that we live in a society where information is so readily available to everybody. I mean, you basically have the entire world and internet in your pocket at all times. Not in my pocket anymore. Now it's going to be in my backpack. But yeah. It's everything is right there. And yet people keep talking about recovery and sleep and nutrition, like how big it is. Like it's 90% of your fitness levels. And then 10% is working out. And everybody, I almost feel like, I don't know if people don't want to listen or if they're just not hearing you, but if you look at the top of the top athletes, if you look at Tom Brady, for example, he has all that shit dialed in, and that's why he's Tom Brady. You know what I mean? If you look at Rich Froning, or if you take the top athlete out of any sport, I promise you that they pay such huge attention to those little details. I know Cristiano Ronaldo sleeps in like an oxygen chamber type of thing, mm-hmm. and it's just because they understand the importance of recovery, and yet we have people in CrossFit gyms all over the world overtraining and working out 4 hours a day and not sleeping enough and not eating enough and not rolling out and not doing the little things that are going to have such bigger impact than just doing another set of squats.
Absolutely. And people think time in the gym is what builds everything, and it's really the time away from the gym that builds everything.
Yeah,
100%.
So you've got to do the gym time. But everything you do outside of that is what leads to way bigger success, both in the gym and then your recovery and your gains outside of that. So it's absolutely critical. And this is just another one of those pieces you can kind of fit into that puzzle of making faster gains, getting better sleep, having better performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect transition into the SARMs.
Yeah, let's do that.
Right. So I think SARMs right now are a hot topic for people who either, one, have thought about doing steroids or something like that, or two,
well, thanks to Ricky. Ricky put that shit on the board.
If you know anything about CrossFit athletes, one of the – actually, the only athlete to ever fail at the games was –
well, there were, like, smaller ones, but he was – he finished third at last year's game, so that's why it was such a big deal. Yeah.
Well, he was using the MK677 and the Rad 140. And I've done quite a bit of research on the SARMs. And, yeah, I want to hear your side about it and see what you think.
For sure. So what I found as I talked to people is – the other people that want to use SARMs are people that are too scared, or they don't want to go out and source something illegal like a steroid. You know, however easy they are to get, they feel more comfortable buying something over the internet that's legal enough. At this point, it's an over-the-counter supplement. So that's like another huge group of people that say, like, whether they're weekend warrior, CrossFit athletes, they're much easier to obtain.
Yep.
And so they're very intrigued by using these because the SARMs are supposed to increase muscle mass without increasing fat, increase bone density, and then only selectively stimulate the androgen receptors. So basically build the muscle without any of the fat gain and build bone density without any of the downsides of what a steroid would do.
And without shutting your own body's production down.
So that's the claim.
That's what they argue about.
That's the claim, is you won't shut down your own testosterone production. Now, what I – So I'm a biohacker, so I've heard about them. I've heard people talk about them. But every article I've ever read on SARMs, people were talking about it and saying, well, I'm a pro athlete, or I can't, it's WADA banned, I can't use it. Nobody was using it. So I couldn't find an article where someone had actually used SARMs and given their experience other than in forums. So what I did is I went out and sourced SARMs three different times and tried three different types of SARMs, ran three different cycles about 6 months apart for each cycle.
For those of the people that don't know, let's just take a step back real quick. Can you define SARMs for us and then exactly what the different options are when it comes to that?
So SARMs are selective androgen receptor modulators, S-A-R-M, and then S for the just multiple SARMs.
Yeah.
And so what they do is they're almost all oral liquids. So it's basically a white powder that is the SARM. It's dissolved in some sort of a carrier liquid. You take a dropper of it into your mouth. Some of them are injectable, but the vast majority are just oral liquids. So that's the other beneficial thing, is if you don't want to inject yourself with a steroid or something else, you just take these right in your mouth in a little dropper and swallow it.
Some of them are pills as well.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. They're making some into pills. The majority that were on the market before that I've seen have been the liquid bottles. They're making the pill form now, and they do have some injectables that are still out there. You have to kind of make up yourself.
Yeah.
And so the claim is, of course, like you can build muscle like you would with steroids without any of the downsides. And so people are very intrigued by that for all sorts of reasons. So they're available in the U.S. because they're not prescription compounds. And they are prescription in some parts of the world, and they will likely become prescription in the U.S. They're in clinical trials now.
Okay.
They're invented by drug companies. So drug companies are inventing them basically to help people that either have cancer and they can't eat, but they don't want to, like, lose all their muscle.
Yep.
Or they're bedridden, and they don't want to gain a bunch of fat and lose all their muscle. So how do you keep these people to maintain their muscle but not gain a bunch of fat when they're sedentary? So that's what they're designed for, and they will probably be used prescription-wise for those things in the very near future. But until that time, they're legal to buy.
Do you think it's abusing the original thought then if we're using it to just get bigger and better in the gym?
So I don't think so. So, I mean, as I feel like we can control our own biology. Like, we own our bodies. We can do whatever we want with them.
Yep.
If somebody invents something to stop migraines, but you find it can also make you run faster, and you can freely obtain that, and you want to use that in your body, regardless of what the side effects might be, you should be allowed to do that.
Agreed.
You shouldn't take it away from the person that needs it for the migraine, but if someone's using it for migraine and you can also use it to run faster and that's what you want to do, you should be allowed to do that.
I'm with you 100% on that. Okay, right. So let's go back. You said you sourced three different types of SARMs?
Right. So I used a SARM called LGD4033. So that was the first one that I used. I basically ran a month of that SARM at 5 milligrams. And the recommended dose was 5 to 10 milligrams. So I ran at a low end. It was my first time ever trying it. And basically I found, I checked before and after with DEXA scan. So I did a body composition scan, a bone density scan. It told me my muscle, my fat, my bone density, before and after. And after that month, I basically tried to keep everything the same. My lifting routine the same, my calories the same. I found no increase in muscle mass, no increase in fat, significant increase in strength, and significant increase in bone density. I was going for muscle gain and basically bulk, which I didn't get, and I wasn't
chasing the pump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I wasn't eating more, I wasn't adding more carbs, I wasn't doing any of that.
Okay.
I wasn't adding more volume to my lifting. So the second time what I did is I increased the amount of 4033 to 10 to 15 milligrams per day, and again saw no increase in muscle mass.
But more bone density?
Bone density stayed the same. It had already increased from the first round and never went back down.
Okay.
So I kept that bone density on. So basically somebody was saying either A, you didn't use it for long enough, or use a big enough dose. But what intrigued me is what I had been hearing most about was MK677 and then the RAD140.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the next stack that I bought, and I used those together for 6 weeks. And over 6 weeks, I gained 13 pounds of muscle as measured by the DEXA scan.
Dude.
My strength went off the roof because I was using ARX to measure my force curves and the power that I could put into the machine.
That is such an immense number, too, because you're not someone who's new to working out. You didn't just step into the gym for the first time, and now all of a sudden you're making these huge gains.
Right.
You're someone who, correct me if I'm wrong, has been working out religiously for years.
Yeah.
And then with doing the same routine and eating the same, or did you take?
I did increase calories,
okay.
And I did something slightly different in my fitness routine. So I've been working out for over 27 years. So it's not like I'm new to the gym.
Yeah.
But what I did is I used the ARX. So the ARX is a special piece of adaptive resistance equipment that just basically one set to failure blasts your muscles. If you use it for the first time and go through a full body set, you're not going to want to work out again for another 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
So I did the ARX once a week, which was new for me. And then continue my normal routine the rest of the week.
That's that machine down there, right?
The ARX is, yep, right down here,
yeah, okay.
Based out of Austin.
Yeah, for those of you guys who don't know what we're talking about, the ARX, it's basically a machine that gives you resistance as you push.
Correct.
And it kind of like, yeah, it kind of creates as much weight as you need to.
It creates as much weight about 10 times every second as you can move. So think about you're going to do your powerlifting, you're going to do a squat. You put the weight on your back. And let's say you can squat a massive amount, 800 pounds. Well, you have to go down with 800 pounds and come back up out of that squat. You can almost certainly go down with more than 800 pounds on your back, but you are never getting up out of that hole.
Yeah.
So what ARX will do is in that eccentric movement, it'll give you that 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 pounds if you can take it. And then as you push in the next move, in the concentric movement, it's going to give you your maximum amount of weight you can push in that movement. Every single second, it's adapting that weight to the maximum you can move.
Yeah.
It's basically the same concept when someone comes into a CrossFit gym and they don't know how to do a pull-up.
you have them do the jump up and then slowly lower themselves to, like, build the muscle, because through the eccentric motion, you're building strength. So it's that.
It's the concept of chains, basically, too, as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. The chains lower the weight as you get close to the ground, and they increase in weight as you pick that weight back up.
All right, so you did that, and then...
So I did that, and I did... this was summer, so I did the kettlebell routine and deadlifting. So I was kettlebell 4 times a week, deadlift once a week, ARX once a week. And I ended up gaining, over the 6 weeks, 13 pounds of muscle.
Do you have one of those ARX machines, or is there somewhere where you go and use it?
There was a local place that let me use it for this experiment. Okay. Basically, I paid $5 per session, which is dirt cheap, so don't tell anyone I paid that much. Yeah. It was, like, so cheap. So I paid $50 to use it as many times as I wanted within that month, 6 weeks period, which was 6 times. I just used it once a week. So I did that routine, measured on the DEXA scan before and after. So I measured that increase in muscle, no increase in fat, bone density stayed the same, and then I did photos before and after. And so on my AerisFit blog, you can see the before and after photos of what I looked like before, what I looked like after 6 weeks using that stack of SARMs. I finished using that SARM stack in September of last year, and I've maintained between 5 and 7 pounds of that initial muscle gain. So it's not like I gained a bunch of water weight and then lost it all afterwards. I've maintained that over almost 8, 9, 10 months.
Did you get any hormonal testing done?
So what I did do is, unfortunately, I didn't do testing before, but I did do a 25 blood test panel after the SARMs. Mm-hmm. So I waited for 1.5 months after the SARMs and did a blood test. I checked my testosterone. I checked liver enzymes.
IGF and everything.
Exactly. So everyone is saying that what they can mess with is your cholesterol, your triglycerides, your liver enzymes, and your testosterone. All my liver enzymes were spot on, right where they should be, right in the range. Some of them were in the low end of the range, which is good. You don't want them to be in the high end of the range for some of those enzymes. Your testosterone, you want to be in the high end of normal. So my testosterone was very high end of normal, so I didn't feel like I had depleted testosterone at all. The only anecdotal things that I've heard from other people that have tested before and after for testosterone is their testosterone dropped during the use of SARMs and 2 months later was higher than what they started with. So basically the SARMs reduced their testosterone during the time they used it because the body said, we've got all these androgens because the SARMs are attaching to the androgen receptors. We don't need to make as much testosterone. But as soon as you stop using the SARMs, your testosterone boots back up. And the people that have tested before and after found, again, testosterone was higher after using SARMs, after they let themselves wash out for 2 months, mm-hmm. than before they started the SARMs. So it may be reducing testosterone during use.
Okay.
But then your natural levels bounce back afterwards is what we're hearing.
Okay. What about your IGF levels? How are those?
So my IGF levels were normal, but again, I didn't check before and after. So I can't say if there was a change one way or the other.
Okay.
So I think a lot of the listeners are kind of in the same boat that I'm in. They love working out. They love competing, but not to a level where it's their job or it's their life or anything like that. They like to be fit type of thing. And that's exactly where I'm at, too. I'd be lying if I say I'd never played with the thought of doing steroids, especially when I was competitive in CrossFit. Two things that have always stopped me, one or three, I guess. One, I don't want to get caught. Two, it was always like the moral side of it. Like, I love hitting a big lift in the gym and then everybody going nuts. And I feel like I wouldn't get that same feeling if I know it wasn't all me.
Cheating.
Type of thing. Like, I'm cheating. And then the third thing is I really didn't want to do anything illegal, right? Two out of those three things are now gone, right? One, I'm not competing anymore, so I'm not going to get tested so I can do whatever I want. Like you said, it's my body, so whatever I want to put in it, I deal with the consequences, I can do that. Three is also gone because the SARMs is over-the-counter supplement now. It's just like buying magnesium or whatever, right? What are some other things that you've experimented with for somebody in my situation who doesn't necessarily want to do anything illegal? I don't want to deal with a drug dealer who gets me steroids. And yeah, that's basically it. And I don't want to go through any consequences to like hurt my body in the long run.
For sure. So I'll say like SARMs can be fun to experiment with. I'll give you one other thing other than SARMs that I think are really interesting to try out right now that are just making their way into the sports field. But SARMs, just be careful of what you buy. There's like 40% of the SARMs out there aren't what they say they are. So there was a big New York Times article that just came out last week. So I was quoted in that article. They interviewed me for it, along with some medical doctors and others. But they basically tested the Journal of the American Medical Association has an article where they tested SARMs on the market and found that 56% of them actually had what they said they had, which is good. Only 10% didn't have a SARM in them.
Wow.
And then 40% had a SARM, but not the one they said it was.
Okay.
So you have to be a little bit careful of what you're buying. And, of course, there's no long-term studies of what SARMs will do to your body.
And how do I do that? How do I make sure I'm getting what I'm paying for?
There's two ways. Really, the number one way that I'll recommend is go to a reputable source that says that they test every lot of the SARM they receive in and shows the testing somewhere on the website. Just look for a test certificate. So that you feel like, okay, here's a test certificate with a recent date that they're testing the stuff that they get. Almost all any drug, even prescription drugs today, come either from India or China. That's like where they're all manufactured.
Okay.
And as an ex-pharmaceutical guy, we had to test every lot of white powder that we got into our pharmaceutical lab to make sure it really was what it was.
Yep.
So the SARMs company should be providing a test certificate that is available publicly to you. If they've got that and it's a recent date, you can be pretty confident that they're doing the right thing. If they can't provide that or it's not public, maybe go to a different company.
Okay, gotcha.
The other thing that I think is, other than SARMs, that I think is really interesting and in up and coming are nootropics. So it's basically smart drugs. So there's sort of a technical difference between smart drugs and nootropics. Smart drugs tend to have side effects and be prescription. Nootropics tend to have little to no side effects and be over-the-counter. And so for sports performance, basically, a nootropic is anything that increases cognitive function. It makes you think faster. It makes you make connections faster. It improves your efficiency in your brain.
And how exactly would a supplement be able to do that?
So basically, what the supplements that are called nootropics do, they work in a number of different ways depending on the nootropic, but they increase the amount of neurotransmitters in your brain. So the more acetylcholine, which is the main neurotransmitter in the brain, the more of that you have, the faster you can make connections and the faster you can process things mentally. They also do things like build dopamine. They build these hormones that both make you happy and make you more dialed into what's going on in your body. There's one in particular called phenylparacetam that's on the WADA banned list. It's a nootropic. It's a racetam family, which are the most popular nootropics. But phenylparacetam supposedly massively increases your endurance and massively increases your resistance to cold. And for those reasons, it's banned by the WADA agency. That's the only nootropic that I know of that's currently banned. There's other nootropics that may be able to mimic that are not banned.
Is it bad that automatically becomes the top one I want to try now?
Yeah.
Just for that simple reason.
Well, if it's banned, there's probably a reason it's banned, because it works.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's been proven to work. I know there's a lot of companies coming out with nootropics. I read an article about a big one yesterday. I don't want to mention any names because I don't want to get into the whole argument again. But it's a regular, just over-the-counter supplement. And what I've read was that it basically has the correct ingredients that would do what they say they would do, just not enough of it.
Mm.
Have you experienced that at all with other brands as well?
For sure. I mean, oftentimes in the biohacking field, we just buy the bulk white powder and weigh it out ourselves, because we know either through self-experimentation or online forums what the right dose is.
Yep.
And when people pre-make a supplement, there's a lot of problems with that, especially nootropics. Your brain chemistry is far different than everyone else's. So when they say, like, you need 75 milligrams of this nootropic, you may need 150 or you may need 25 to get the same effect. And everyone is going to be different. So it's really hard in a pre-built pill to determine what dose is effective for you. So we always buy the bulk powder. We weigh out the 75 milligrams and see how it affects us. And the next day, depending on that effect, we'll use more or less.
I gotcha.
Yep. So pre-built, not always great. And there's a lot of supplement companies that want to say it's just like skin cream. It's like vitamin D and vitamin C and vitamin whatever do all these things.
Yeah.
But guess what? When you put them on your skin, they don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
But they can make the claim because they're in there and they really do those things, but only if you eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just like saying you can do all these things with this nootropic, but if you don't put in the right amount, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're on the topic, let's go a little bit deeper into this. And I don't think that this is widely known or widely practiced yet. But one thing that I've heard, especially kind of like out of Silicon Valley, San Francisco, and Fish and I watched the documentary To Take Your Pills. I don't know if you've seen that one on Netflix. Mostly about Adderall. And then it kind of gets into microdosing LSD, microdosing mushrooms,
You don't have to say if you've ever done any of that. If you want to, sure, go for it. Have you had any experience with that? Like, know that it works? Talk to people? Just anything you know about the topic, because I'm, like, super interested in that.
Yeah.
Since we've been here in Austin, we've heard...
Yeah.
I've been blown away by how many people talk about...
I feel like everybody around me is on acid right
and all
now.
This stuff, and I'm like, holy shit, I feel like sad that I haven't done it.
I know, seriously.
Or like maybe
fuck am I missing?
Someone actually made me feel embarrassed the other day at the gym.
Yeah.
They're like, you've never done acid before? I'm like, no.
How is that a thing now?
Yeah.
Seriously.
So especially in the biohacking space. So we talked about nootropics and smart drugs.
Yeah.
So what some people will tell you is the only true nootropics, the only true brain-enhancing compounds are psychedelics.
Okay.
And so you can get slightly similar effects, supposedly, with psilocybin and LSD. So instead of taking a full dose, which is going to blast your mind, you're going to have hallucinations, you're going to go on this trip, you can use those things to do lots of great inner work, but you're not going to be functional.
Yeah.
And so what people do is they take a tenth of a dose. So a full dose of either acid or mushrooms will make you trip. A tenth of that amount that makes you trip is called a microdose.
Okay.
So it's basically one-tenth of that amount. And what people are doing from Silicon Valley to now Wall Street to everywhere is they're saying they get a nootropic benefit from taking a tenth of a psychedelic dose. So that microdose doesn't give you any of the psychedelic response. No visuals. It doesn't make you necessarily even feel it physically. Sometimes you may, sometimes you may not. But what it's going to do is it's going to, what's reported, is make you feel more connected, more creative, more relaxed, reduce anxiety for up to 3 days at a time.
Wow.
And so basically you're relaxed, your brain is turned on, and you're feeling just more connected to everything around you. So in creative work, you can more easily make connections.
Very similar to Adderall.
Very similar. I've never taken Adderall. I can't really say whether it's similar to that or not. But these have very little to no side effects, of course. And you can use them to consciously do inner work that you need to do at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people have found, I've found that inner work that I've been doing, trying to work through physically, on paper, journaling, whatever it is, one microdose can completely solve that issue that I've been working on for 8 years.
Whoa.
Once, as long as you go into it intentionally to get into your body and focus on either whatever creative project or inner game you're trying to fix,
right,
can be very powerful.
So it can be an external power or an internal power. If I go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to sit at my desk, I got this long to-do list, and I'm just going to knock out one thing after the next, I can do that. Or if I go in thinking, all right, there's something that's been bothering me and I'm racking my brain around and I can't figure out where I'm going with this, I can do that work on the same dose?
On exactly the same dose, but different compound.
Okay.
So if you want to be super creative and connective, psilocybin.
Yep.
If you want to be super dialed in, focused, and hyper-productive, acid.
Okay.
So
insane.
What was the psilocybin again?
The psilocybin is for creativity and connection. So if you want to like write an article, get creative with some art project, whatever it is you're trying to do, the psilocybin, for most people, what they report is massive connection and creativity. But if you want to be hyper-focused and hyper-productive,
Can psilocybin be bought over the counter?
No.
Oh, okay. This is like because I've never heard of it before. It's
a mushroom. So psilocybin is the active compound of mushrooms.
Okay.
So basically like magic mushrooms.
Okay.
So you have to source your own magic mushrooms, and you have to somehow figure out what a microdose is, and then you have to somehow get that microdose into your body. And same with acid. You have to somehow source it, and you have to somehow figure out what a microdose is and very carefully use just a microdose and not a full dose. And then there's certain ways of doing that, and you can find that online. There's actually a guy here in Austin called Monsal D. So Monsal D runs Nootropedia, and he has a video on how to do all of these things right on YouTube. He talks very clearly about how to use them as nootropics and how to dose them and how to source them and all of that. So
wow.
Incredible. Is there any benefit in using a combination of both?
I don't know.
Okay.
why don't you tell me?
Yeah.
We haven't done it yet. We'll get back to you. I think before we leave, we had
Mom, if you're listening, I'll never do it. I promise.
Mom.
And you never should. I never recommend you do anything illegal. But if you wanted to, you can probably find somebody here at the conference that, that can make that happen.
I don't doubt it.
DMT was the other one we heard a lot about as well.
For sure. So that's super new. I've never experimented with anything DMT, But I have heard now, like, microdoses of, like, ayahuasca or 5-MeO-DMT is, like, the latest thing. I have not talked to anyone who's actually done that.
Ayahuasca sounds terrifying because everyone – you're throwing up the whole time.
Throwing up, you're shitting yourself. It's
I don't get it.
But then, it gets really good.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, I feel like I've been missing out on this whole world of everything.
Well, between – so ayahuasca is one, and then the latest one everyone's doing is called Combo, like K-H-A-M-B-O, which is the frog poison. So you burn yourself,
and then
you wipe poison on the burn, and it soaks into your bloodstream, and then they
trip on that.
So if you look very carefully, you'll see people with little round scars walking around here from frog poison.
That's
so I've never tried that. I've talked to a lot of people that have, and they seem to love it. But it's very similar to the ayahuasca, but a much faster trip.
Okay.
Huh.
Wow. Incredible. Any areas at all that you feel like we haven't hit yet that you're just burning to talk about?
I think it's all about optimizing sleep recovery. And then, of course, there's so many technologies and nootropics and other compounds out there to try. Just do your research. See what's out there and talk to people maybe outside of the fitness field to see what they recommend. Because there's a lot of people that aren't kind of in the CrossFit and in the gym culture that are experimenting with things that massively reduce recovery time and massively increase both strength and muscle gains. And so talking to that other group of people outside of that space can probably bring a lot of new combinations in that we've never heard of. So I'd
Absolutely.
Say look into nootropics. They're a burgeoning field. They're going to be massive in the future. And then look into non-native EMF and how to mitigate that so you can improve your recovery and sleep.
Okay, cool. Wow. I know we spoke about your two websites for a little bit. If you could mention those again, that'd be great. Then maybe other you've mentioned forums that you, I'm sure, serve and like look for answers and communicate with people. Mm-hmm. Any of those would be great if you could give a few addresses there, and then maybe some books or other resources if people were getting into biohacking or any performance improvement at all.
Sure. So my websites are primalhacker.com and arisfit.com, and I'm on Instagram at primalhacker.
Cool.
The number one places that I go for answers are always the Biohacker Tribe Facebook page.
Okay.
So there's a Facebook group called Biohacker Tribe. All day long, it's got 7,000 or 8,000 members, and all that happens is people ask questions and get answers. So if you want to say, like, what can I do to improve my performance in the gym the most? I'm trying to deadlift. I want to deadlift this weight. You'll get about 40 people telling you the ways they've been able to do it or that you should try, and you'll get just massive interaction on how to fix that.
Wow.
And the other one would be Health, Light, Water, and Magnetism. So Dr. Jack Cruz.
That's a website?
It's a Facebook group as well.
Okay.
It's run by Dr. Jack Cruz, and Dr. Jack Cruz has a book called The Epi-Paleo-RX. And so basically it's like a paleo-type diet, but he goes beyond that to help fix the issues that you used to have and then dial in all of your hormone processes, your recovery, your eating, your light environment going forward. So Epi-Paleo-RX. He also wrote something called The Leptin-RX Reset. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Jack Cruz, his books are phenomenal. My number one teacher, Biohacker Tribe on Facebook group, and Light, Water, and Magnetism Facebook group are kind of best places for answers.
Awesome, dude. I'm so stoked on this because I've always – I don't want to call myself a biohacker, but I've always been fascinated with the topic in general, and you've definitely, like, opened up a whole new world for me. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm super stoked for everybody who just got to listen to that.
Definitely. Yeah.
That was really awesome.
Yeah, Fish, you have anything to add? If not,
all right,
what you got going on?
We're about to be on the outro here, but you guys know me. The programming mastermind, CEO of Chalk Nation.
If you guys can hear it, that's actually Fish tooting his own horn.
So. if you guys ever want to sign up for the online workouts that we do in the gym, it's at crossfitchalk.com. Click up for the Chalk Online link, and you guys can follow our daily workouts, helping gym owners every day. Yaya, tell them what you do.
Yeah, so as you guys know, producer and mastermind behind the podcast, do anything fit marketing related, graphic design related, with the podcast, the gym with Ryan, any videos, photos, all that stuff that you guys see on his page, my page, CrossFit Chalk, wherever it is, all comes from me and my agency. So if you guys ever need any graphic design work done, feel free to email me, yaya@crossfitchalk.com, or at Yaya's View on Instagram. Got at Primal Hacker on Instagram, at Ryan Fish on Instagram. Boys, this was a fucking blast. Let's go drop some acid.
Yeah.
Dude, thanks again, man. That was really cool.
Absolutely.
And that will wrap it up. If that didn't make you want to go outside and stand in the sun and just take in all that positive energy and let all that negative energy drain through the bottoms of your shoeless feet, then I don't know what will. Seriously, I honestly loved this episode. Like I said, if you guys want to hit up Thaddeus, go over to primalhacker.com. In order to sign up for online programming, go to crossfitchalk.com. When this episode first airs, you guys are going to have 2 days to sign up and get entered into the raffle. Before June 1st, you guys must sign up to win a free ski erg and a free home gym. I'm Yaya Kids. You guys have a great day.